Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Happy birthday, Rog. Happy birthday.
It's 50. Not far off it. I do feel old this morning. Yeah,
but you have to talk to us.
That's a pleasure. I don't mind that. That's good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Horse racing on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You are very welcome along to the Cheltenham Show. It is day 2 of the 2024 festival. It is Owen, John and Johnny with you for the next half an hour or so to look ahead to the race card, give you all the tips for the day ahead. John Duggan, we'll go to you. First of all, a very good morning to you. And it's been a busy morning of news over in the Cotswolds.
Owen, good morning from a dry Cheltenham, which is great because it was raining here for most of the last week and the heaviest ground we've seen in years, possibly decades here at Cheltenham yesterday. It was really, really deep ground. So the first bit of news is that the cross-country chase is off and it will not be rescheduled for later in the week. So Cheltenham is a really, really big race course. It has 3 race courses. There is an old course and inside of that is a new course. So they're running the old course for the first couple of days, a new course for the second 2 days, Thursday and Friday. And then in the middle of the track, obviously they go round anti-clockwise, is the cross-country course. But that doesn't drain as well as the others. It's been waterlogged and they've called off the race today just because the ground is so bad and they're not going to reschedule. It means that the time of the race, first one today, is at 1:45, the 2.5 mile novices hurdle. So we'll run from 1:45 until 5:30 today with 6 races, and the feature of the champion chase is at 4:00. And that race now has been affected by the removal of John Bond from the field. Nicky Henderson trained John Bond, very good horse, in the colours of JP McManus. The whole Nicky Henderson yard has been in a state of flux for the last few weeks. There's obviously some issue in the yard with illness because Constitution Hill was ruled out of the champion hurdle a few weeks ago. And yesterday, Nicky Henderson ran 5 horses that were pulled up. The other horse, Lucia, was 3rd in the champion hurdle. So Nicky Henderson's made the decision to remove John Bond. He's posted on Twitter or X that something is affecting the horses. I think they're trying to get to the bottom of it. But what it ultimately means is that John Bond is out of the big race today, the 2 mile champion chase. It means that El Fabiolo is now 3-1 on in the betting for Willie Mullins, who's on 97 winners for the festival now. And it's just really devastating from a sporting perspective for Nicky Henderson. This is the biggest week of the year. He had his battalion ready, and now Constitution Hill ruled out of the champion hurdle. John Bond ruled out of the champion chase, and he's also revealed that Shishkin, who probably would have won the King George at Christmas if he had not clipped heels and gone down, has been ruled out of the Gold Cup on Friday. So a disaster for Nicky Henderson, you have to say, though.
Johnny Ward, it's been a very eventful morning. What's your take on everything that's been happening, certainly with regards to Nicky Henderson yard?
It's really disappointing, Owen. You know, you're watching these horses almost like with your kind of head in your hand yesterday, and Lucia did run well, but sort of the last maybe 20-odd runners he's had, two-thirds, three-quarters of them, give or take, have pulled up. And obviously it's happened at a really, really like tough time for the yard. Nicky, in fairness, he does actually put his eggs in the Cheltenham basket. Some British trainers don't, and like that champion chase, El Fabiolo met John Bond last season, and you know, they had a bit of a race, and John Bond is a very good horse in his day. He's a brother to Duvan, and you know, he's one of these kind of flashy JP McManus horses, but that obviously renders a big race kind of something like yesterday where it was absolute Irish domination. And like, apart from Nicky having a long shot that was placed, everything pulled up, and Paul Nicholls having a well-fancied runner, and the Fred Winter who didn't feature, and the main British yards basically having no say whatsoever on day one at Cheltenham. And speaking to an Irish bookmaker, he said, well, I laid the Irish horses, so I lost. But I don't know, there's an unsettling feel about the Irish dominance at the moment. It's not good for the sport, to be honest.
With regards to yesterday then, Johnny, like, is that the sort of overarching theme when it comes to your emotions watching day one of this year's festival? Or was there, can you give us any silver linings here, any enjoyable stuff that you managed to feel yesterday, or is that just affecting everything?
Well, to me it is now. It started great because Slade Steele won the first race, Rachel Blackmore, you know, well kind of backed horse for Henry de Bromhead, and that was a great start. The first race was run like on really testing ground. It was far, far slower than normal Cheltenham's, and like to have the cross-country race called off today is completely unheard of. And this is just the reality of it. We've had so much rain that Cheltenham were probably a little bit lucky to actually even go ahead. If we had like consistent rain last night and it got much worse, Cheltenham would have been in trouble for maybe cancelling more races. But it was just more the fact that like when I got into Cheltenham Owen, you'd really cheer on an Irish winner, and it was like a patriotic thing, and Ireland might have a quarter of the winners, give or take, to absolutely pulverise the opposition 6-1 on day one, with the British generally not having placed horses in the big races. It's not good for the sport at all. Like, I spoke to Brian Cavan about this for a piece I wrote in the Currency today. It's like, you know, Irish racing is strong, but Britain is by far our biggest export market, and British jumps racing particularly is an insane serious decline. There is no way that Irish horses should be winning as much as they did yesterday.
Are you getting that feeling on the ground there, John?
Yes, I'm just getting the feeling of predictability, Owen, as I've said, that when I came here 22 years ago for the first Cheltenham, we had 25% of the winners. We had 5 winners out of 20. And when the jockeys would come in for years, it would be the tricolour lifted over their head as they entered. They were let in, and there'd be a huge roar, and an Irish roar, as it were. You could feel the Irish fans around it. That sense of the journey where you're going from, you have a good year, say in the 70s we had really good Cheltenhams, and then the 80s we had really bad at Cheltenham, 1989 then the deer would be no winners at Cheltenham, and then in the 90s we had a bit of a revival, and then in the Celtic Tiger when they extended the programme to 4 days in 2005, that was the first time we had a real sense of momentum. We had 9 winners in 2005, first double figures 10 in 2006. So you felt you were on this massive journey of Irish competitiveness to really get close to the home market here, and to put it up to Paul Nicholls, Nicky Henderson, Martin Pike back then, and have maybe a third. But when it gets to the stage where you're having 23 winners out of 28 races, as it was 3 years ago in the COVID year, and you had 18 winners last year, there's just a sense of routine about it. Last year had some great stories here at Cheltenham. So not every year you're going to get the stories that you want. Last year we had the Rachel Blackmore, Henry de Bromhead, Honeysuckle story. You had John Gleeson, an 18-year-old doing his leaving, winning the bumper for an octogenarian trainer in John Kiley. You had Michael O'Sullivan from Cork winning his first 2 races at the festival. But Willie Mullins is such the Alex Ferguson or Jurgen Klopp in this discussion, that he is king of the jumps at the moment, and he has a stranglehold on the sport in terms of the quality of his horses, the brilliance of his training, and at the moment everybody's just trying to catch up with him, and at the moment they can't. And like, he's got 97 winners at the festival and 3 odds on chops today: Ballyburn, Factophile, and now Alfaviolo. So from a competitive point of view, maybe we're just going through a cycle in that. Maybe in 5 to 10 years you'll have different trainers, different stories. But at the moment, it just feels very much like we're on this path that we've been on, pretty much like last year, and I'd expect next year to be no different. So where is the unique narrative around that when you're just talking about brilliance?
Okay, let's get stuck into some of the races. Today we'll go in chronological order. The first race, as you mentioned, is now at the time of 1:45. It is Grade 1 Gallagher Novices Hurdle. John, what are you looking at here?
Well, Ballyburn is the worthy favourite. He's odds on. I suppose the form has been franked from Leopardstown, and that he beat Slade Steele, who won yesterday at the course. He won his point-to-point Ballyburn, so I think the trip will be no issue. He's also won over 2 miles, 4 furlongs. Probably needed the first run of the season when he beat when he was behind Firefox. I think he's absolutely the one to beat. To me, he looks very much like the likely winner. The interesting thing about this race is that there's 8 runners, and one of them is a no-hope with a grey man. So bookmakers, when you get to 8 runners, have to pay the first 3 places. So for this race, if you want to have a euro each way in something, And if you want to have a look at a price, there's a horse that Willie Mullins trains called Jimmy DeSoy, who was bought out of France, and he's a 33-1 shot. And I think to get in the first three behind Ballyburn, Jimmy DeSoy might give you a run for his money. He won nice at Clonmel on heavy ground the last time. I think there's more to come. I think he needs to prove he gets the trip. But as Willie Mullins has said in his Sporting Life column today, he's going to run the best race of his life today. I think Jimmy DeSoy, I think David Casey's been putting him up in a few preview nights and a few articles. 33-1 Jimmy DeSoy to finish in the first three, but I think Ballyburn will win it. Okay. Of the English horses, handstands the best.
John, would you go along with what, or Johnny Rodder, would you go along with what John is saying?
John agrees with Johnny here. I think, like, when I did a preview for this race last week, Owen, before the 5-day stage, I think Willie Mullins still had 17 horses left in. 17 horses, which is far more than, almost like legitimate British candidates in these Grade 1 races, full stop this week. And Ballyburn, obviously, he would have won, I think, the Supreme yesterday if he went. Willie didn't actually win the race. I mentioned Slade Steele won it, but he obviously beat that horse at Leopardstown, so the form is very good. But even at Lantique, I know JD is a fan of the Nace form. He ran in Nace's only Grade 1. And the one thing about, like, this is an absolutely bad each way race. So if you're backing a horse that isn't the favorite here each way, particularly the first sort of second and third favorites in, you're getting place odds that are completely at odds with the actual chance because of, an old school each way system that basically has kind of a fifth of the odds in every runner races. So if you back Elite Lantique here and he places, basically you get your money back at worst. And he's going to run a big, big race. Probably wouldn't have the class of the favourite, but I'd prefer to have him five each way on him. And again, it's just Willie Mullins' dominance. The three Grade Ones today, he has a stranglehold on. And it's kind of like, it'd be like you're a big Kerry fan, Owen, but if Kerry won every game in every All-Ireland by 12 or 14 points, it'd get quite boring. And that's what I kind of felt like yesterday with the Irish horses.
Well, the analogy, Johnny, which if you wanted to make one for non-racing fans out there, obviously I'd be a huge racing brain here, but the Ireland going for back-to-back Grand Slams is the analogy that probably comes to mind. How we were talking about the Ireland rugby team a week ago, and things are too boring at the Aviva because everybody just expects Ireland to win. Like that's the analogy here, except the results are sort of future-proofed. And as John mentioned a moment ago, you're talking about what might happen in 5 years down the line for a changing of the guard. Something can't really come out of the blue regularly enough over the next 3 days for this to be a shock to the general Irish system, let's say.
Yeah, like, and I actually made the same analogy with the rugby team in that, like, Ireland economically, politically, in rugby and racing, we're always behind England's, and that's all kind of changed, really. And granted, we lost Twickenham, but, you know, the Irish rugby team is riding the crest wave, and a lot of that would have to do with the Irish economy, I think. And it is basically the Irish economy that the government makes a decision every year to give so much money to the greyhounds industry, which is hugely questionable, really, given the participation. And the racing industry, which they could justify in terms of the jobs created, I think, more so. But if that were stripped away and, you know, Irish racing had to be run the same way that British racing is run, like the trains are run, where you basically just pay for it, Irish racing would soon realise that it's not that easy either. And, like, we're probably coming to the last few years of the Cheltenham Festival in some regards. If we were to continue this Irish domination, I think the British racing industry will either collapse, which is kind of on the verge of, because the owners just aren't there anymore, or, like, will they kind of keep supporting an industry in which you might have 23, 25 Irish winners at Cheltenham this year. Like, that's not sustainable.
No, absolutely not. At the second race today, John, I'm not sure how times are staggered. Sorry, what were you saying there, John?
It's not helicopters off the roof yet, though, Johnny, you know? It's not helicopters off the roof yet.
It is still early. I guess it's certainly there's been harbingers of doom for British racing potentially there for a little while, but maybe at the end of the week it's something that might be a little bit more pronounced. John, I'm not sure how they're staggering the races now as a result of the abandonment of one of the races, like sort of the 10-past-2 novices chase, for example. What time is that now on it?
Half two. The Brown Advisory Novices Chase. 3 miles, six runners, American Mike, Factophile, Giovinco, Monty Star, Sandra Clegan, and Stay Away Faye. But Factophile, once again, is the odds on shot. It's unusual that William Mullins would send a horse from a bumper, which is a 2 mile flat race in the National Hunt game, straight over fences. He did that with Florida Pearl in the late 90s, and that he has done that. What Factophile means, I think, a huge amount of this horse. I think he's probably a Gold Cup horse. In the race, there's two horses rated at 159, Stay Away Faye today, and the rest are rated in the 140s. I think Factofile is very exciting. He's a point winner. He won easily at Leopardstown, beating Gaelic Warrior, who won yesterday. The small field will probably help him. I spoke to Paddy Aspel, who had a winner here years ago at the festival earlier this morning. He says the ground would be very gluey and sticky. The only question with Factofile is, he's got so much class. Would he want the attritional nature of the race over 3 miles? But one thing yesterday I did notice, Owen and Johnny, is that I thought the jockeys were quite clever and quite sensible in the way they rode in the races. They didn't go too fast. They respected the ground conditions, and that actually might help Factofile. Of the others, Stay Away Faye will stay all day. He does get a bit lazy in his races, and they put cheek pieces on him today. So if he's thereabouts coming to the last fence, he's got a massive chance of winning up the hill. Sandra Glagana, putting my tent to follow, has disappointed me though this season, so I don't really know what to make of him from Paul Nolan. Monty Starr is a great jumper. Wood was behind Stay Away Faye in his point-to-point race, and he was also pulled up at the festival last year. It's a race that American Mike is always in and out. I don't really have an opinion on the race.
Johnny?
Yeah, like it's kind of a situation where it's the evidence versus what you're hearing, and they just love this horse, Factofile. As JD says, it's rare that you would like just completely bypass hurdles to go chasing. I actually think probably more horses should do it. I don't really see why you should go hurdling if you're a complete out and out chaser. And he is a beautiful looking horse. I made this point again yesterday. I was like, if Willie Mullins trained Stay Away Faye and Factofile was trained by Paul Nicholas, what would the price be? Because Stay Away Faye beat Corbett's Cross. Corbett's Cross went out in the novice hurdle last year, but I think Stay Away Faye looked like he was holding him at the time. Corbett's Cross absolutely bolted up in a decent renewal of the National Hunt Chase yesterday. And Stay Away Faye, who ran very well against the senior horses the last day, is like sort of 7-2 against an odds on shot, who really hasn't achieved an awful lot. He did beat Gaelic Warrior at Leopardstown. Gaelic Warrior was like, came down at the last. He was so tired. It was just complete off day for him. Was also beaten by American Mike, as JD says, so he has to reverse that form. So it's hype versus kind of form substance here, and I'd obviously go with form because I'm not a Willie Mullins yard day to day. I don't know if Factofile is quite as good as the betting suggests he is, and at the prices you have to back something else, which is Stay Away Faye for me. He's a very lazy horse, as JD says, but he will stay up the hill.
Right, so the third race of the day is the quarter past three. This is the handicap hurdle at quarter past three, John. What are you looking at in this one if you want to kick us off?
Well, there's two horses that have attracted support in the market over the last 24 hours. And once again, they're for a strong connection. Samajest is a lightly raced horse that beat Noble Yates at Limerick in December. And that horse, Noble Yates, won the Grand National and then won a 3 mile Stayers trial here earlier in the year. So Samajest has definitely got a lot of potential. For Willie Mullins, Mark Walsh rides him. Built by Ballymore, the Martin Brassel, Sean Mulryan, JJ Slevin. You know, they've been so close in this race before. With Faster Slow, and also another horse. I can't remember the name of it now, but an Epic Song. That was the name. Yeah, that's it. An Epic Song. So built by Ballymore, one of these conditions at Limerick and Punchestown, and the stable's gone close. The two I like, though, at better prices. Brazil, if he stays, has got a massive chance. Like, he beat Gaelic Warrior here at the festival before. It looks like this has been the plan with Brazil. So if he does stay, he's a big chance at double figure prices. And my selection is the horse called Might Eye. Was second in the Grade 1 novice at Aintree a couple of years ago. Fourth in the Martin Pipe Hurdle here last year. I think, once again, this has been the plan for Might Eye. He's been running over fences. Harry Fry trains him, who knows the time of day. And I think Might Eye, with Jonathan Burke on board, might be give you a bit of a run for your money. They're generally paying six places. William Hill, I know, are paying six places for this one. So you're looking at the colours of JB McManus for Brazil and for Samajest. But Might Eye, I'm going to go for 14-1 each way.
Okay, very interesting. Johnny Ward, what are you thinking with regards to this one?
Yeah, built by Ballymore would be my best bet of the day, Owen, and six places with Hills is perfect. Yeah, he's just a horse, again, a little bit like Stay Away Faye. He can race lazily, but the last couple of starts, he's won both by 12 lengths on testing ground, and this is testing ground with Cheltenham standards. It's not normal Cheltenham at all. Normal Cheltenhams are probably gone in terms of the ground, and the way he like finishes his races with the cheek pieces on. So cheek pieces are basically put on horses to kind of wake them up when they race a bit lazily, and if they work, and Martin Brassel is an absolute absolute master trainer. The odds have come in a fair bit now. This horse, I think, 10 to 1 last week. So I'm not really keen on backing horses that have collapsed in price. But with the six places at round 4 to 1, 9 to 2, this horse is going to run a big race. If he gets into any sort of rhythm, it'll be hard to see five horses finish stronger than him if you're backing him for the six places, and hopefully he'll be good enough to win. And obviously, brilliant day for JJ Slevin yesterday winning the Fred Winter.
So that's your napper today, Johnny Zippel by Ballymore.
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, let's go on to the big one. It's the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the new time of 4 o'clock this afternoon. John Duggan, kick us off on this one.
Well, this is a race to watch because El Fabiola was a monster. 6 wins out of 6 over fences, including the defeat of John Bond, who doesn't run now in the Arco Chase last year. His jumping's not always perfect. I think it's just about getting from one to side of the fence to the other as quickly as he can. But the only horse that can beat El Fabiola is El Fabiola. He's never fallen. He wins this. It's not very exciting, but of all the other horses, I can't even really pick another horse to say, oh, that's a horse that is interesting. Like Douche Hill is a good handicapper, but the ground's against him. Has fallen the last twice. Captain Guinness, probably the best of them, second in the race last year. Edward Stone, I don't think the ground will suit him. Flopped in the race last year on heavy. And Elixir de Nuts did win last time at Cheltenham, but that's because John Bond made a mistake. I don't think he'll go on the ground. Fernando Civilla has regressed in the last couple of years. Gentleman de Me has formed to make up with El Fabiolo. I don't feel it's his ground either. It's not a race to get excited about for me, even though it's a championship race. Don't know what Johnny thinks.
Johnny, can you say something to make this race seem exciting, please?
No. And like when you think, like when you... In terms of national owned racing, arguably the most exciting prospect in terms of race is a 2 mile chase where they go as hard as national hunt horses more or less go, jumping these big obstacles at speed. And when I think back on the Tingle Creek Moscow Fire as early of Well Chief, and that era when I got into racing, Moscow Fire was kind of getting going, and the excitement around this race. And if Moscow Fire took it up travelling well, sort of 2 out for Barry Gertie, Cheltenham would literally just go wild. Irish and British horses, Irish and British racing fans, he was that popular. This is just, you know, a favourite winning again for Willie Mullins. And John Bond, to be honest, like if he did show up, the Henderson horse were in such bad form yesterday, I'd say he would have gone off about 7 or 8 to 1. There'd be no confidence behind him at all. El Fabiolo, to be fair, is a very good horse, but there's no real excitement in him, you know, just in what's an effective lap of honour here. I'm not trying to say that he's capable of not making a mistake, which he is, but he never really looks like falling. But this is an absolute nothing renewal of the race, and it's really disappointing for Cheltenham.
The next race is at 4:45. Obviously, the 4:10 was due to be the Glenfarclas Cross Country Chase. If you're just joining us, that race isn't happening. It's been abandoned. It's not happening later in the week. So I presume the 4:50 is moving up to the 4:45 then, John. Sorry, I don't actually have the new race card in front of me, but it's the Grand Annual Handicap Chase.
Yeah, it's the last two races are at the original time. So The Grand Annual Chase is at 4:50 and The bumper's at 5:30. Now, this is much more competitive, the Grand Annual Chase. 17 runners, difficult to find a winner. I've narrowed it down to 3 personally: Solness, Jimmy Rond, and Hardy DeSoy. Once again, it's going to be really, really tough ground here. So, like, do you want to be carrying top weight on this ground? But then again, there's a class argument for the horses that have more weight. In the Carl Cup, the weights are quite compressed, so I wouldn't be as worried about backing a horse in the Carl Cup that has a bigger weight. But the Grand Annual Chase, you got to jump well. Hardy DeSoy down the bottom for Jamie Snowden, the trainer, and Gavin Sheehan, the Cork jockey, is interesting. He's gone back chasing. He's off 10 stone 4. It looks the target. They've said that. Jemmy Rond is interesting at a massive price back after a break for Venetia Williams. Ran well at the course last year. The one I'm going to pick, though, is Solness each way at 16 to 1. Won nicely at Ferry House early in the season for Joseph O'Brien. The British mark is not too higher than the Irish mark. The stable had a winner yesterday. And to get in the first 5, Solness each way for me at 16 to 1. But the other two that I mentioned are also worth a look.
Okay, very good. Johnny, a bit more excitement with regards to the betting lines in this race.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's not an exciting race. It's a grand annual. It is what it is. But Solness, obviously, JD mentions, he has a bit of class. He's probably gone up a bit high in the weights. JJ Slevin, I spoke to him. He was on our live show when we did it a couple of weeks ago and had a winner yesterday. And he basically would make the point that this horse probably doesn't have an awful lot in hand, but should run well, strongly run 2 miles. It's going to be tricky for the riders here because with, you know, as JD says, the ground is going to be kind of drying up from heavy yesterday, and it could get very, very testing in the sense it's quite gluey. Kind of grounds, a lot of horses might struggle to get their kind of feet out of it, but he does stay quite well. So does my mate Mozzie, who his trainer Gavin Cromwell was also at our preview night that that night, and he basically kind of gave a really strong nod for the horse at Leopardstown for the Dublin Racing Festival. He ran really well. He can probably jump a small bit better, Pat Doru, but he has an each way chance in what is a very open You Love the Race. And I think with the ground, it's probably not a day to be getting heavily involved in terms of, like, some horses just it's heavy ground yesterday. Today it's kind of drying out, but that can create different dynamics as well. So a lot of these have finished really tired. Hopefully My Mate Mozzie should get involved.
Okay, the last race.
Pat Doru, rather.
The last race of the day is the Champion Bumper. I think this is your Napa today, John.
Yeah, Jalon du Derys. I went through all of these, and like the bumper, as Johnny said correctly, like, this is not a day to be, losing your shirt and never getting it back. This is a Euro each way day, and it's grand because the 23 runners in the bumper, they're playing the first four places with William Hill. So there's a few here. William Mullins has won the race 12 times. He's got 9 darts at the dartboard. So he can go to the dartboard 3 times, as it were. Say to Chance was beaten ahead by William Money at Navan, the winner of Francoform last time. That was his first run of the season. He could run well. Jasmine DeVoe, Patrick Mullins mount, probably the pick of the William Mullins horses then. Won his points. He's a good winner at Nathan Soft Ground. He's got a turn of foot. He is shortlisted. Paul Tennant rides Cantico. Won his point on heavy. Solid if unspectacular at winning at Navan in February. Gordon Elliott's got a few at this, the Yellow Clay, Romeo Coolio, but Jalon du Derys, the fact that Jack Kennedy picks it, Jack Kennedy hasn't had a winner yet at Cheltenham. He'll want him as many winners as he can. He's a stable jockey. We can talk about the three jockeys that I think of when I think of good jockeys at the moment. Not good jockeys, but top jockeys. I think of Harry Cobden over here, and I think of Paul Tennant, and I think of Jack Kennedy. And that Jack Kennedy picked this horse is interesting. He's like a classic Jigginstown House stud chaser, and Jigginstown didn't like horses in the bumper for a long time. But the fact that they've elected to go here, and there's a lot of money from this morning. When I picked him at 6-1, he's now about 4-1. I think he'll relish the hill here. I think he's a battler. I think on this ground, I think he'll be there or thereabouts, and I think he's a good chance of reaching the frame. Jalon du Derys is my nap of the day in the 5:30, the bumper.
Very good. Johnny, what are you looking at in the bumper?
Yeah, I'm going with the same mate, Romeo Coolio, just on the basis of his reputation. This is a tough race. JD and I think we backed Fernie Hollow kind of on day two a few years ago, and that was great because I think we both needed a winner at that stage. Hopefully that's not the case today, but it's really tough. Like, Willie Mullins having 9 horses in it, so Willie has to tell 8 owners basically, well, you're probably not my main horse here, but best of luck anyway. And with the ground as it is, it probably will be a case of some horses disappointing on the day, not showing the true colours. But Romeo Coolio was a gorgeous looking horse. I was at Ferry House when he won. He wasn't overly impressive, but he's the reputation he has would suggest that he's a big, big future ahead of him. Gordon didn't have a bad day on day one. He didn't have a winner, but it was just more a case of his horses were running well, running into Willie Mullins as he is a punch down in Ferry House. And Romeo Coolio, quite well named, gorgeous looking horse, will handle the ground. Tentative vote for me, and again, small stakes in the bumper.
Okay, nice one. John, we might just round up then your charity bets for today.
Okay, what am I going to do here? We're going to have Jalon du Derys 40 each way at whatever the price we have here. Jalon du Derys 9-2 with William Hill, 9-2 Jalon du Derys, so we have 40 each way on him. 30 each way on Mai Tai in the Carl Cup. That's now at 3:15 at 14-1 for 6 places. William Hill paying that. We have Solness at 16-1 for 20 each way in the 4:50. And then the tenner each way on Jimmy Desoy at 33-1 to get in the first 3. And if you won, it'd be a massive bonus. I don't think he is, but I think to get in the first 3 maybe. And that's in the 1:45. So Jimmy Desoy, 33, Solness at 16s, Mai Tai 14s. And then app of the day each way, Jalon du Derys 9-2 with William Hill in the bump.
Very good. Johnny Ward, you buzzing for day 2?
I don't want to be talking it down, but this is not what Cheltenham should be. Like, Willie Mullins having 3 odds on shots in the grades, one jumps races, after the utter Irish domination. Like, you can't mask the fact that Cheltenham should be way, way better than this. It should be like massive, like, hype around every race, really competitive racing. They diluted from 3 to 4 days. That really hasn't worked in terms of competitive racing. But when, regardless of if it were 3 days, 4 days, or 5 days, the state of British racing now is so bad, with no real big owners to come, Cheltenham has just become a Punchestown in England.
Well, try and enjoy it within those confines. I'm certainly going to try. I think, us racing people just love this moment. And John Duggan, I'll give you a final word here. Leave us on a tone of positivity, if you might.
Every day is a great day. Every day you're alive is a great day. Being at Cheltenham is a wonderful day, and it's a magnificent place. And I don't want to lose the sight of that. We can have our narratives within our conversations, but we can't lose the fact that being at Cheltenham, being alive, being able to see a race and enjoy it is something that I'll never take for granted.
Cheltenham, the best place in the world to be, except if you have the opportunity to stay in a hotel room in Milton Keynes.
Well, this is it, but like being alive is obviously a start in terms of like having a good day, but this is not what Cheltenham should be. Let's not sugarcoat here. This is not what Cheltenham should be.
All right, we will be back with you tomorrow morning for more words of wisdom from John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Lads, best of luck today. Enjoy. Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
Johnny.
That is this morning's Cheltenham Show.
Horse racing on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.